And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Camelites. No, I made that part up. In other words, the enemies. He will drive the enemies out. God will do it. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take your 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, everybody say, and it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its bank, all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. You may be seated. You talk about a miracle now. We're talking about a miracle of miracles here. This is flood time. This is harvest time. This is a time, or this is a time when the river is overflowing its banks. Amen. And the people need to get across that river. There is no bridge. There is no ferry. There is nothing. There's not even a log to walk on. There's nothing. It's just a deep river. And you notice they stood in the midst of the river and they passed over the river clean on dry ground. That's a long ways from being at flood stage and above flood stage, overflowing its banks, to dry ground. You can hear some people try to explain all this, and they will tell you a lot of things. Their interpretations of how God did it. Their imaginations of how God must have put all this together. They even make movies about this. And all movies seem to shed a little different light on it. But it's just exactly like the scripture says. I believe it because the word of God says it, that they passed clean over. My subject today is let's move on. Let's move on. Everybody say, let's move on. Amen. Let's move on. Brief 40. Brother has a tumor in his nasal cavity. Doctors won't treat it because he has no insurance. Dizzy all the time. Isn't able to work, support his family. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, God, you're able to do something about this. We're asking you in Jesus' name. As we stand here before you, God, just as you were able to part those waters in the Jordan, you're able to take this physical problem away from this individual and change the situation, make him be able to work, and cause him not to have all this suffering going on in his life. In Jesus' name, let your will be done. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Look at the circumstances here. These are people that have been people called out of God, serving God, trusting God, believing God, seeing God do mighty things. They've also been under the pressures and the hardships of those who oppose God, who are against God, who are against the people of God, who are against anything that has to do with truth. And nothing has changed in the world. It's still like that. Amen. When you're a child of God, you're going to run into some opposition, some strong forces. And there are going to be moments when you're going to feel like you're in bondage. Because you are in bondage. There are times it's not just a feeling, it's not just imagination. There are times when you need to be able to break free. We need to be able to get loose from where we are because circumstances, events in life, and the fact that we're in a world that's been cursed, and the cursed ones are cursing us. Amen. And we're living in a time when enemies are on the rise against the ways of God. If there were any way to get prayer out of all facets of life in America today, there is a majority in the United States probably that would like to see that happen. Because a majority of the United States population is not Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name, truth, child of God. The majority is like all over the world. You look at the whole world population. The biggest part of the world, if you try to tell them what gives you joy, what makes you happy, what brings you peace, what hope you can offer, they will laugh at you, scorn you, mock you, try to put you in a place where you can't say that much, try to make it difficult for you. So we're not facing these things as something that's unique or new as people of God having problems with humanity that does not care about God. But as we read these examples of Old Testament happenings, this is for our learning. This is for our edification. God didn't put this in the Bible just so we could have something to read and say, that was interesting. It's not there just so we can amuse ourselves. Amen. It's there so we can know. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. It looked like it was. It always does. It always looks like it's too difficult. It looks like it can't happen. There is no way. And it seems like when God does His miracles that we testify for years and years about, they're always the result of something happening right at the moment. If it didn't happen, it would have been terrible. It would have been a catastrophe. It would have been a horrible mess. But you know what? If God does a miracle and rescues you from your enemies and puts you in a place where you can shout and praise God, even if it's at that last moment when it seems it's impossible, if God does it, amen, it's still God that did it, and it was right on time. What we need to work on sometimes is patience. Patience when we're being bound. Patience when we're being held back. Patience when something tells us you can't go forward. Patience when something says there is no way. This is impossible. There are circumstances here that says it can't be done. Nobody's ever done it this way before. Amen. You ever had those thoughts? Nobody's ever gone this direction before. I'm in a predicament. I don't see how anybody could make it through what I'm going through right now. Praise God. You've never, and I've never been in any situation any more difficult than this situation of these people that we're reading about this morning. Put yourself there. Just place yourself there. Your pastor has died. Moses is gone. The one that you finally decided he does hear from God. He did take us across the Red Sea. He did deliver us from the hand of the enemy. He did listen to God and finally took us from the taskmakers. And when we stopped our murmuring and complaining, He finally told us on behalf of Almighty God what to do. We did it, and God took us over and made a way and broke down the barriers and destroyed the enemies and gave us the victory. And what a testimony service they must have had over and over as songs of Moses and songs of various people who liked and enjoyed testifying and writing and singing the triumphant songs. How it must have been joyous and glorious as they said, the horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. The enemy has been destroyed. We've been delivered out of bondage. Praise His holy name. To God be the glory. Let's move on because there's victory in the camp. Let's move on. But the man of God died. Now they got this kid, Joshua. Well, the assistant pastor. Brother Rutledge is gone, now it's Brother Joe. It's Brother Mo gone, and Brother Josh is here. Brother Geddes is gone, now it's Brother Hale. You know what, it doesn't matter who it is. It's still God. God is not dependent upon our experience or what we know or what we've done. He only depends on God. And if we can learn to depend on the one that God depends on, some good things can happen for us. Praise God. To do it our way, we'd try to figure out how to build a bridge across that river. We'd see if we could spend a lot of money and get some architects and some engineers and some people that know what to do. Maybe build a dam and cut the waters off from above so we could pass over. But it still wouldn't be dry. It'd be wet. No matter how much we spend, no matter how hard we work, there's no way. But God, just like that, changed wet land, flooded land, impossible passage land into dry land. And stack the water up. You don't stack water up like this. But God could do it. He stacked the water up real high. He just made it real high. Water, when it goes high, it goes that way, you know. The example of what we just know about that killed 250,000 people. Amen. That tells you what can happen when water stacks up high. Amen. And there's no way that water being stacked up, coming down from a river in a heap, there's no way that you can walk right next to that on dry ground. But they did. Very threatening. Not only was the fact that all the enemies had been around them threatening them, but the circumstances and the conditions and the natural things they were looking at were scary. But somebody was listening to God. Hallelujah. Somebody was listening to God. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Amen. It's just as impossible to walk across on dry ground with the water stacked up as it was before it was parted. But Jesus, before He was the man Christ Jesus, as the Word of God, inspiring the men of God and the people of God and giving them experience and showing them and teaching them along the way how to trust God, gave instructions. And the instruction was, move forward. Let's go on. No matter what it looks like, I want you to go out there and I want you to stand in the midst of that Jordan River. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we just have to take God at His word. How can we do this? How can we move on from where we are? How can we get there? Because it just looks like there's no way. Hallelujah. Well, the way they did it was they just started that direction. When those priests bearing the ark started toward that Jordan River, it was still flooded. It was still deep. It was still swift. It was still impossible. But God said, go on. And they were going forward. Hallelujah. You see, when their toes touched the brim of that water, it was just as impossible then as it was when they looked at that raging river
But God said, walk across it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the same thing He does in our lives. I don't care how tough it is. I don't care how rough it is. He said, let's go on from here. Let's move on. Amen. Let's just go on. Amen. You don't know how it's going to work out. That's fine. Just let God be God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Start walking. Start walking. As soon as your toes touch the edge of that impossible situation, God will see that act of faith and God will move the circumstances so that you will have clean passage to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's move on. Amen. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet. It went past the toes touching. As soon as the soles of the feet. It wasn't like this a little dab and see if it works. As soon as the soles of the feet. Don't be afraid to take a stand on the promise of God. Don't just touch it to see if it'll work. Go ahead and step in it. Hallelujah. Go ahead and step in it. Step on the solid foundation of God's Word. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as their soles of their feet shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan will be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they will stand upon a heap, and it will come to pass when the people remove from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Hallelujah. And put your feet in the water. That the waters which came down stood just like God said it would. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And even those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Now, when they passed over right against Jericho, God had just done a miracle and He took them to another place where they needed another miracle. They needed another miracle. Because Jericho was not a habitation for people of God. It was not a place for the people to say, when we finally get to Jericho, everybody's going to invite us in and we'll have a party. And when God delivers us from where we are and takes us to where we're going, we may find out that we still need some more help from God. A lot of people get discouraged along the way. They need some patience. God takes us through the impossible circumstances, and instead of testifying and singing the songs of joy and saying, look where God has brought us from, they start looking at the next mess that they're facing. I wonder if God can help me with this one. I know He fed the 5,000, but there's some people hungry now, and I don't know if He can do it now or not. God never changes. It's the way we look at things. It's the way we perceive things. And all through the Word of God, we are encouraged to lift up your eyes. That doesn't mean go, but it means something deeper than that. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your perception. Lift up the way you think about these things. If there be any good thing, think on it. Has God ever been good to you? Has God ever delivered you from circumstances that nothing else could have delivered you from? Has God ever brought you out of something that you were tied to and could not get loose from? Has God ever gave you something that nobody else could give you? Has He ever moved you from where you were to a better place? Hallelujah. Yeah, but where I am now is just, oh, there's just such a wall here. And if I can't get past this point, what was the use of coming to this point? Well, the reason you came to that point is because God brought you to that point. And He didn't take us to that point to abandon us. Hallelujah. He brought us to that point because we have trusted Him. We have looked to Him. We have believed on Him. And now it's time to move on. It's time to move on. There's nothing more difficult about a wall standing there than there was a river standing there. Praise God, it's time to move on. What do? We continue to listen for God's direction. Hallelujah. We continue to listen for God's direction. Whatever thus saith the Word of God, that's what we're going to do. It may not seem like it makes sense. It never does. Hallelujah. There's a wall. Are you sure you want those walls broken? Because those people inside there are mean. Those people inside there are mean. They want to kill you. They want to deliver you from life. They're mean. I mean, it's one thing to have a wall between you and the enemy. And God says, I want that wall broken. So there won't be any wall between you and the enemy. Hallelujah. No matter how tough he is, no matter how strong they are, no matter how much they hate you, no matter how much they want to destroy you, I want that wall broken. Because there's nothing that God can't take you through. And there's no enemy that God can't destroy before you. And there's nothing that we have or nothing we can do that's going to make it happen other than just let God be God. Just let God be God. Now, how are we going to get past this wall? How are we going to get past this city? How are we going to get past this circumstance? Well, the same thing it took to bring us to this point is the same thing it's going to take us past the wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they went clean over the Jordan, over against Jericho. Praise God. How'd they do it? Moved on. Just moved on. Because it was the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I can think of a lot of hang-ups in life. I'm not talking about hang-ups like we hear people talk about. Oh, I've got this hang-up, I've got that hang-up. Only God will deliver you from those hang-ups too. But I'm just talking about people get hung up in where they are and can't get past it. Just, you know what happens a lot of times? They look for the answers in the wrong places. It's so easy for us, after all of our testimonies, all of our victorious moments of knowing that God has taken us from where we were to where we are, it's so easy to get caught up in the way things look. The way things seem to be. What somebody said, how somebody acted, how much I don't have to do what I want to do with. You know, right now, my vision and our vision, in order to reach the goal that I feel that God has placed in our hand, it's going to take hundreds of millions of dollars. And what one of us is a millionaire? And there are millionaires out there. I mean, somebody told me last week, if Bill Gates drops $1,000 while he's walking, it's not worth his time to stoop over and pick it up. Because he makes money so fast. That's no more than you dropping a penny and not wanting to take the time to get it. Maybe we should write him and tell him we could use a couple of mil. And you know what? If Bill Gates would contact us today, if he just happened by chance to be listening to the internet, and he would call us on the phone and say, you know what, I appreciate what you folks are trying to do, and I want to give you $10 million. He wouldn't miss it. He could do that without batting an eye. It wouldn't hurt him at all. But if he would do that, I'm afraid that I have to tell you this. It would be a problem for a lot of us. It would cause us to miss out on some of the most wonderful testimonies we could have had. Hallelujah. You know what? If you don't realize it, some of the most greatest dividends that there are in the work of God is to be able to tell about it and sing about it. How there was no way that this could happen. There was no way. There was nobody that could help us. There was nothing that could be done to cause us to go forward. And we put all of our trust in God. And God said, go on, just go on and go on. And when your water is impossible, just keep on going anyhow. And when your foot steps in the impossible situation, the hand of the promise of God will take care of it. Everybody needs a Bill Gates to help us. Mark Rockefeller. Some of these rich people we hear about in the news have all these millions and billions of dollars. Do we really need their help? I know somebody that's got more than all of them put together. Hallelujah. And if we needed it, he could take it right out of their pocket and put it in ours. You know, we as people generally look around and say, well, look what we don't have and look what they've got. There have been many people that have even walked off from living for God just because sinners prospered. And what they saw is prosperity. I want to tell you something. Money is not the answer. It helps to pay the bills. But if our concentration and our focus gets on, oh, if I could only pay this, or if I only had this, or if I only could get past this, if I had enough money, if I could do this, if I had the money to do this with, when we get all that going in our minds, we get hung up. And then, if we're not careful, what was the love of God becomes the love of money. And the trust for God becomes the trust for money. And the need for God becomes the need for money. And all this stuff is good. Money's all right and it's good. And I wish we had a lot more than what we've got. But if a lot more than what we've got meant that we have to depend on whatever we can do to get a lot more, then we may be missing something here, because God takes people with nothing. He says, come and follow me. Where are we going to sleep? Don't worry about that. How are we going to live? Don't worry about that. Where are we going? I'll show you along the way. How are all these people going to be fed? Don't worry about that. Anybody here got any food? We'll just eat theirs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are we going to make it? Don't worry about that. Follow me. Let's move on. What are we going to do next? We're going to take care of a blind man. Blind man, according to your faith, open your eyes. You're healed. Oh, praise God. And the people of God rejoice. They say, my, we've never seen anything like this. Oh, he must be of God. Surely he must be of God. Let's follow Jesus, see what he's going to do next. So what we're going to eat now, Lord, don't worry about it. Let's move on. Follow me. I know what to do when the time comes that it needs to be done. We don't know what to do, and sometimes we limit getting to the point of God doing what needs to be done by not trusting him. Oh, wait a minute. I'm hung up here. I heard one person tell me, I've got a problem now that even God can't solve. That's a terrible state of mind. If you got a problem God can't solve, that's a big problem. Big. If you got a problem God can't solve, then God wasn't able to make the world that you stand on. He didn't have the ability to create the stars. And he didn't have the ability to breathe the breath of life into any individual. You got a problem God can't solve? Amen. And we're all in a heap of trouble, aren't we? Is there anything too hard for God? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. So what are we going to do next, Lord? It's not for you to know. Follow me. And I'll do what needs to be done next. as you move on. Thank you, Jesus. I remember my father was building the church. They started off with nothing. Poor people in a poor community with about this many people, with a desire to have a new church building. We lived in the back of the church. We had no running water. Just a little humble, white, wood-framed building with two outdoor toilets out back. Weeds growing up high because we couldn't afford to hire anybody to mow them, and we didn't own a lawnmower. It was hot. It was sweaty. It was a dusty road in a poor rural community. In order for us to have drinking water, my dad had to walk over a mile, take buckets, and go to a service station and get water and walk back carrying the water for us to have to drink and to bathe. That was it. We appreciated when the rain would come or we'd catch water off the roof so we'd have more water to bathe with. That's how we lived. We had no furniture. We lived in the church. We slept on the floors. And he announced, "We're going to build a new church." We had no automobile. Nothing. We arrived in that community and he spent everything he had just to get there. And I was just a little boy, but I watched all this happen. There stood this family, happy, a happy family, in the will of God. 12 members in the church. Amen. We got more here today than we had then when they decided to build this church. But he got up and he said, "We're going to build a new church." And those 12 members were divided against each other, so there was not even unity there. We had to lose 6 of them before we could build a church. He said, "We're going to build this church for the glory of God." "How much is it going to cost, Brother Rutledge?" "Probably $100,000, $200,000. "Where are you going to get the money?" "Don't know." "We're going to do it. God said He's going to help us with this." And right after that, they started praying. Some of them were a little confused, bewildered. They didn't think it could be done. They just kind of faded out. We didn't see them anymore. They left. They thought this preacher had gone nuts. They started holding back their tithes instead of giving them. They didn't want any part to do with this overambitious preacher. In fact, I remember comments as that little church started to grow. "Our church is just getting too big. It's going to get out of control." Hey, it doesn't get out of God's control. If it's out of control, it's because it's in your hands. You need to get your hands off of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Chuck Gray came into our community with his banjo, his country style singing. And they started a revival meeting with just 6 to 12 people, just a little handful. He started playing that banjo and singing. People started spreading the news. "Hey, there's a hillbilly singer. He's pretty good. Let's come out and hear him." They started coming out and listening to Brother Chuck Gray preach. And his preaching, amen, was the main thing he was there for. But he played that banjo. And those country people came out to hear that banjo picker. But when he got through playing that banjo, he had such a way of working with folks. Going around with tears in his eyes. Letting them know God cares about you and loves you. And always in the middle of his message somewhere, he wouldn't quite get through with his message. He would be out in the audience talking to somebody. And then walking them to the front of the building and get down on his knees beside them, put his hand on their shoulder and pray with them and cry with them till those hands were in the air. And these were strangers in the community. It just completely astonished those 6 to 12 church members that had been sitting there for years, nothing going on. Couldn't get past this point. Because when they started to grow, they always got in a fight. And somebody would get hurt and get their feelings hurt. And they'd leave the church, and then they'd spend all their time trying to see what they could do to get them back, because they couldn't do without their ties. That's the way it had been for several years. My dad took that church, the pastor. Brother Chuck Gray came with compassion and love, reaching for these sinners. They kept coming. And he had announced, "We're going to build this church," and they just had a little handful. But after that revival, there were about 100 people standing around with a shovel in their hand and that property behind the building. And I didn't understand what they were doing. They called it groundbreaking ceremony. Still didn't have a lot of money. These were not supporters. These were not people that had been raised in church. These are new folks that just came out of the woods and wanted to hear a banjo picker play some songs and got converted because they got the surprise of the life. He was able to touch the heart and they were converted, and many of them were baptized in Jesus' name, and there was revival in the place, excitement in the place. And they, what was happening was this little church with its head down in bondage, hung up, not knowing if we can get past where we are, and anybody that dared to think they could, they caused them problems. Revival had come and they started lifting up their eyes a little bit. Started lifting up their heads a little bit. And the enemies were starting to be destroyed. And some confidence and some happiness was in their testimonies. And there was a new spring in some of the hills. It took some of the old codgers a while to join in. But these new people would say, "Hallelujah, we can do anything. God can do it. Oh, glory to God. I was a sinner last week, and now I've got the Holy Ghost." I'm going to tell you what, you get a church full of brand new people prayed through, they'll cause the old ones to wake up. Hallelujah. They don't know much about God, don't know much about the Bible. One thing they know, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And they were out there on that ground with a shovel, digging a hole in the ground, said, "This is the beginning of our new church. This is the beginning of our new church building." We still lived in the back of the old building. No food except what they brought us. No money except what they gave, and that was almost nothing. No running water. No facilities like we enjoy here. Nothing. Sleeping on the floor. No furniture. No vehicle. No transportation. But the will of God. Hallelujah. See, these memories and what I know, what I saw, what I experienced, help me to look back and say, look where God has brought us. And something happens and it looks like we can't get past this point. I've never been in a point any more desperate than my father and that family was when I was just a little boy. Hallelujah. We're going to build this church for the glory of God. They put that shovel in that dirt, lifted those hands, and the people started praising God for the new church building. Praising God for the new church building. They still didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't know how they were going to get the money. The bank would not loan it to them because nobody in the church had any credit. Or the ones, if they did, they didn't want anybody to know about it because they certainly wouldn't sign on a note. My father had spent everything he could just to get there, and now He was having a hard time and he had nothing to show as a credit reference. It's just the bank wants some kind of collateral. The building we were in wasn't worth anything. The property was worthless. Just out in an old country community. Amen. Let me skip forward just a few years. Today there are thousands of people serving God that God brought into salvation because somebody dared to move on. Hallelujah. Regardless of how it seems. Regardless of how it looks. When they started pouring the foundation of that church building, a brother who had quit the church, who didn't want to be a part of it because he was a businessman. He had a little grocery store. But he had refused to ever give money to the church again. And he had decided that all the church wants is your money. Something happened to his heart and he changed. And he came to the church, started humbling down. And just at the time when it looked like they couldn't get past the point, he handed my dad $5,000. And this is almost as impossible as Saul of Tarsus getting saved. This was a disgruntled, mad at the church, hate the preacher man who would never give another cent to any church because he'd had it with churches. Comes after they poured the foundation. Says, "Let me help you out." That was God doing that. He didn't go to the man and say, "Could I borrow $5,000? But he started out and put his souls in the feet of the Jordan and the money came. It was enough. It was enough in that poor property, in that poor community. It was enough to get some low-priced materials and to put up some walls and to put up some rafters. When they got 54 rafters on top of those walls and people working as volunteers, happy because they were building a new church, there came a little wind, something happened to some of the bracing, and all of those rafters fell and the whole church caved in and all their work was destroyed. Now what are we going to do? I never forget, 3 days later, after, you know, watching people with blood on their faces that fell with the rafters, seeing them as they cleaned up the scars and went to the hospital to check for broken bones and things. I never forget watching my dad roll around in the floor of the living room holding his chest and crying, saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Everything's destroyed. Right in the middle of all this, that brother that gave the $5,000, he didn't know about the calamity. The phone rang. It was him. He wondered how the progress was on the new church building. My mama said, "We don't want to talk right now," and hung up on him. While my dad was rolling in the floor, I remember those moments. Oh, what are we going to do? 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 Then I saw something that changed. From lying on the floor, hurting and holding himself and crying, he got up. He washed his face. He looked around. He said, "We're still going to build that church. I don't know how. I don't know why it happened. But I'm serving the same God that told me to do it, and we're going to do it. Thank you, Jesus." 3 days later, that little group of people stood out there with chisels and hammers, and they just started cleaning up the rubble, cleaning up the debris, saving what they could save. Most of it was destroyed. And somehow, money started pouring in. People started feeling sorry. And as they needed it, the need was supplied. A few months later, there was a beautiful church in that community, a beautiful church building, filled up with about 200 people. Another revival came, dozens filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And to ask, how did y'all do it? It wasn't us, it was God. We got past our hang-up. We got past of our looking at the circumstances. We got past the problem, although the problem was there. When God said, "Move on," we moved on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In God's way of doing things, sometimes it looks like we need more people. He says, "You got too many now." The enemy needs to be destroyed. Yeah, you got too many people. Let's destroy them. Let's get down to a few that can listen to God. And then he'll take that impossible circumstance with God and win the victory. I'm not saying that we should have, you know, we should get rid of all of our church people. But I'm saying all of us church people need to get rid of all of our lack of faith. Hallelujah. We're about as small as we can give. Why not go ahead and enjoy the victory with what we got? We've had hundreds pass through here. Praise God, hundreds who are out there living for the devil today. But somebody is still trusting God. Somebody's still believing God. We had some that walked away saying, "I don't understand all this broadcasting and I'm not going to support it." That's their problem. That's their business. You don't have to understand it. God knows before we go what we're going to do. It was 15 years ago we were talking about with charts in front of us. The network ministry around the world going to cost millions of dollars if we're able to do it. What we were talking about then, we're doing now beyond what we were talking about. Hallelujah. And the things to do it with were invented since then. While some walked away and said, "This preacher's crazy." It's not the preacher. You know, and if I were to die, Brother Joe stand up here and say, "Okay, Brother Rutledge had this vision. This is the way it went." And he'd say, "Now we're going to go a different direction. Brother Rutledge trusted God, brought us to this point. But I feel God speaking to me. And this is where we go from this point forward." And it might totally destroy what you thought we were going to do. And you might say, Joshua, there's a river there. There's a flood. The same God that spoke to Moses talks to Joshua. Now, I'm not getting up here thinking I'm fixing to die. Don't worry about that. As long as I'm alive, I want to try to follow God. But I'm telling you, when God is in charge, you follow God, not the person. But the person that say, follow God, you follow God with that person. And it might mean you go this way, you go that way, and you might wonder, how are we going to make it to that point? Don't worry about it. Just go on. Praise God. Let's stand and praise the Lord today. Hallelujah. 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 It was not Joshua's job to take them across the Red Sea. It was not Joshua's job to deliver them from the Pharaoh and all those people. Joshua's job was to go on from where they were after God had brought them to this certain point. Amen. And we don't know what God has in store for us just ahead as we keep pressing on toward the promise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Individually, collectively, we need to put our trust in God and stop looking at the winds and the waves, the circumstances, the masses of people that are hungry and there's no way to feed them, the river that's so rough and raging, there's no way to pass over, the storm, the wind is blowing. All we can look at family ties, problems, finances, health. We get to the point where we can listen to God again. Be like that preacher yesterday. He also has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Standing up here preaching his heart out. He's had 6 or 7 major operations in the past year or so. Doctors give him little chance of survival, but yet he's up here saying, hey, praise God, everybody, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Up here preaching, giving it all he's got, planning to build a multi-million-dollar regional structure for the glory of God in Newington. He knows if God doesn't do a miracle, he won't even live to get to see it built. But yet he's launching out. And who knows, along the way he may get healed and miraculously recovered while his church people follow God and they see their pastor with trembling hands, frail body, dying, it appears. But yet, did you see anybody with a head down yesterday saying we can't go on from here? No, you saw choirs singing, people rejoicing, orchestras improving, music being played, hands clapping, people saying with tears in their eyes, we've got the victory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him some more. Glory to God. Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah!